Hello, it's Wednesday, the 3rd of April in the year of our Lord, 2024. We're back with another nightly news show. Apologies about yesterday. We had some technical difficulties and drama, so parked last night, but we are back. I've got the wonderful Christine, who's had technical issues of her own. Really, our demons are out in force at the moment, trying to stop broadcasts, trying to stop all sorts. Christine's computer went, but she's on the phone, the little trooper. Christine, hiya.
Hey, happy to be here. Hope you can hear me. All good.
And the wonderful Jason Nota.
Good evening, ladies. How are we doing? I hope we're all well.
Well, I got hacked and it was a bank holiday weekend, and that gave these people even longer to access more of my life. So I think I've got it all sorted. There's still the odd little emails, and I found out I was out shopping and I had a thing come up that Uber Eats that my card had just been declined for ordering food somewhere. So I've had to cancel all my cards as well. So it's been a bit annoying. But anywho, here we are. We're back and we're going to start where we always do with Kate Watch. So really, I'm just going to pick up on the story that I was going to cover yesterday. Getty have now put a notice over the cancer video, believing that it could be partly AI. There's also news that Harry and Meghan are on their way back. And apparently, according to newspapers, I can't quite see this because we still, let's be honest, we still haven't seen Kate. So I called the Reading Chronicle sometime, I don't know, early February, to ask them, had they seen where Kate is? I went on to Richard Vobes, and it was just a jest. And now the whole bloody world, in fact, Kensington Palace, are blaming Russia, China, and Iran for starting hashtag Where's Kate?
It makes you laugh, doesn't
It's
it?
absolutely. I sat here the other night in stitches because it was. I started hashtag Where's Kate,
Yeah,
and
many months ago.
Tisa Tales in America, she really kind of got me clued and got me down rabbit holes, and I went my way and she went her way, and then we kind of met in the middle with stuff. But no, Kensington Palace, I'm sorry, the Russian collusion ain't gonna work again. So, no one's seen her. There's been reports that they've asked Harry and Meghan when they come over, because apparently they're coming over in May, to bring the children. But there still has not been any sight of William with his father. He hasn't made any comment about his father. I did see something earlier that William's ex-girlfriend before Kate has suddenly started rearing her head. Rose Hanbury still pruning her bushes up in Norfolk next door to the home of Sandringham. And we haven't seen anything of Carol Middleton. We've seen the brother and we've seen the sister having jollies, but we've seen nothing. And more to the point, we haven't seen the three children at all. I mean,
That's a
William
good point. It's a good point, Matt.
in the church on Sunday, Easter Sunday, as we all know, the royals gather for Christmas and Easter. Always, William and Kate and the children were absent. Where are the children?
You see, I watch a lot of the YouTubers and the kind of word on the street there, I suppose, is that Kate's really poorly, and is it worse than what they say? So they're kind of sort of grasping that this, she's on death's door, and I'm like, well, no, she's already gone. Something happened on 28th of bloody December, and that was it, and the rest has just been smoke and mirrors, as far as I'm concerned. So it's like it's
Of the convoy
yeah,
during the
and
night,
shit.
28,
That's
so
the one.
happened Christmas Day after they were seen at church, all the way through to the early hours of the 28th. What happened?
Now, we spoke about, well, you came up with a very good theory the other day when we were speaking about it, obviously not on the show. Do you want to sort of elaborate on what you think? Because I think you're not very far from probably the truth of what happened there.
I've had about three or four different theories, to be fair.
One with a boyfriend, and it's all gone a bit west over Christmas, and it's all come out in the air.
Yeah, there was a theory.
Shotguns, I believe, were involved.
Did Kate, knowing about the Rose Hanbury affair, knowing that that's where William's are, knowing that the royal family are desperate to get George, is it George, the eldest one, to Eton, to be rolled away from his mother, right? Because William can't stand her. He wants a divorce. They can't divorce her. He can't divorce her when George is not at Eton, because they can't have the mother of the future King of England being a single mother. So they're desperate to try and get George away to Eton so he can divorce and they can slowly bring Rose Hanbury into it. She knows this. Did she go and have an affair of her own? Did things build up Christmas night after the consumption of a lot of wine, when William is reported everywhere to have the most disgusting temper? Did things get really bad? Did she then spill the beans of her own to say, well, guess what? I've been having an affair and I'm pregnant. Maybe this is only just, if I was to write a soap opera, I would try and maybe do this plot, okay? I don't know any of this is fact.
For entertainment purposes only.
So then she spills the beans. He loses the plot. Maybe she doesn't spill the name of who it is. So he's there raging. The lover, Kate's lover, finds out all that's gone on and maybe confronts William about it, or confronts someone. It finds out eventually, by that time, 2 days before King Constantine's memorial.
That's when the royal was found dead.
Find out. Who knows? Did he go and visit Thomas Kingston? We don't know. But then we have a report that Prince and Princess Michael of Kent's son-in-law, Thomas Kingston, was found dead in an outbuilding at his parents' estate with a wound to the back of his head and a gun next to him. Now, my thing is surely if, why, what, they're saying he died of suicide because of a shot to the back of the head, but the autopsy never actually says it. Apparently the autopsy says with a wound to the back of his head. Well, if it was a gunshot wound to the back of the head.
It would say gunshot wound.
They would say due to a gunshot wound. And how could he get a blow to the back of his, how would he manage to get, maybe he stands all right? Surely, if you're going to commit yourself with a gun, you just hold it in front of you. Why would you twist your arm all the way back?
Unless he's gone to shoot himself in the face, slip backwards and headbutted something, and that's what's killed him.
But, and then we have the weird statement. We get the announcement of Thomas Kingston. We've got then got the next 2 days away, 48 hours away, King Constantine's memorial service, not in Greece, but in London, across the park. I don't know if this was post the ambulance dinner where he went out partying with the, like, I don't know, weird gnome-like creature, which apparently is Tom Cruise. And the lady sitting next to him, who's involved with Air Lounge. Air Lounge is a private jet company and a private yacht company. We know what goes on there, but she's running Earth Project, which is environmentally friendly eco, but then she runs those kind of companies. But that's another story. We'll leave that one parked. So William doesn't understand, but Kensington Palace, instead of just coming out with Prince William unable to attend the memorial of his godfather, King Constantine of Greece, due to personal matters, that would be the end of it, wouldn't it? But Kensington Palace decided to add something. But it's nothing to do with the death of Thomas Kingston. Why did you need to put that on? And then we had the Mother's Day photographs. Fake. Then we had the couple that Nobody denied, nobody from Kensington Palace denied that the two people walking out of the farm shop on the royal estate was Kate and William. There was no denial of that. No denial. Oh, and then we obviously had the Carol Middleton photo with the car with the extra three wheels at the back.
With not a woman that looks nothing like her.
And
But,
then the video,
yeah.
Which I took the screenshots. If everyone remembers, you can look on my Facebook. I then took something of myself and put it in. Mine came 100% human. The video came back at, I think, 9% human, 91 AI or messed around with. So Getty Images found out and they have now put a notice, but we still haven't had any announcements from the palace. I don't know that theory. That's just if, you know,
it is strange.
I would have been, you know, it's like a
vanished. She's vanished. She's gone.
Those like big novels.
She's disappeared, and she's not been seen since Christmas.
Children, where are the children?
Probably in one of the palaces somewhere, keeping out of the way.
What are they going to come out? They're going to come out and say the cancer was very progressive,
and she died.
Just one thing to say about this very onslaught, and there seem a lot of people are coming out with it. With this onslaught of cancer, and I watch quite a lot of the Scientology stuff because it's the protesters and everything else. And one of the guys there all of a sudden got this very, very progressive cancer. A lot of them are turned up around the 2021 time. That in some onslaught. Like, it doesn't take a rocket science to figure out what this, like, mad quick cancer is. Do you know what I mean? But with the royal family, it's not. I mean, they're probably going to use Charles to introduce the cancer jab. That's more than likely. And they're saying he's only got 2 years to live. It's just the destruction. We know the plan. We know we're going to see the destruction. And it's in a way, it's like watching like an episode of Dallas or Dynasty with the royal family. Now it's like a Jackie Collins novel. Christine,
it is, isn't it? Who killed JR?
Exactly. Christine.
Yeah, it's, I've said since day one, they would have done themselves so many more favors if they had said nothing. It just, you know, the more they try to make it right, the worse they make it. So it would really be best for them at this point to probably fire all of the people in charge of their social media. I would just start over, start fresh. This batch is not working out well.
Exactly. So we're going to move on from Kate Watch. Jason, what have you got? I think we're going to start with JK Rowling first, because I've got a bit of info that I can add on at the end. But tell me what you got on JK Rowling.
Well, yeah. I mean, what a woman is what I can say, first of all. She made some comments on social media challenging Scotland's new hate crime laws that just rehashed and brought out. And she was being looked into as a, you know, what she said was being treated as a criminal offence. So basically what she said is transgender women are men, including convicted prisoners, trans activists and other public figures. So basically, the new law in Scotland we know it's going crazy. We know it's stupid, and we know it's all planned. But it creates a crime of stirring up hatred, basically, related to protected characters. It says here, the BBC, our favourite people, the new laws create a new crime of stirring up hatred related to protected characteristics. The force said complaints had been received, but no action would be taken. Reacting to the news, Miss Rowling posted on X, "I hope every woman in Scotland," who is what she said, "who wishes to speak up for the reality and importance of biological sex will be reassured by this announcement, and I trust that all women, irrespective of profile or financial means, will be treated equally under the law. If they go after any woman for simply calling a man, I'll repeat that woman's words, and they can charge us both at once." So basically what she's saying is, it's a man. Yeah. And I'm talking about his biological sex. And what the law's trying to basically encroach on people is, I mean, it's just nonsense. That no, if that person identifies as a woman, Yeah, and you call it call him a man. That's hatred. I mean, that's hate speech. That's a crime of hate. It's like, but it's not, is it? Because we're just stating facts. So it's becoming a blurred line for a lot of people. And it's just a shame that a lot of people out there see it as a blurred line and get confused with it. Well, what is it then? What are you allowed to do? What are you not allowed to do? It's like, no, it's a man. Whether he wants to identify as a cat, if he wants to identify as a brick wall or a woman, he's still a man. It was born a man, it will die a man. He dig it up in 100 years, it'll be the bones and the remains of a man. No matter what confusion he's got in his head, that's a different story altogether. So big up to J.K. Rowling for standing the ground. Now, she's called out the police and said, well, come and arrest me then. Come and arrest me, yeah? And let's have a conversation about it. Now, it says here, the Hate Crime of Public Order Scotland Act 2021 makes it an offence to behave in a threatening or abusive manner with the intention of stirring up hatred based on disability, religion, sexual orientation, transgender identity, or being intersexed. Stirring up hatred based on race, colour, nationality or ethnicity was already illegal in Great Britain under the Public Order Act 1986, but is now included in the new law. And that came effect as effect of last Monday. And there's been over 3,000 complaints to the police up in Scotland already. So that's how stupid it is. You make it a law and you've got all these people, oh, he called me a man, it's a hate crime, it's a hate crime. But you are a man. Get a grip. Now, in your head, you're not, because that's just confusion. But you're a man in woman's clothes. So, you know, it's just getting silly. It's really getting silly.
Sorry, I was on mute. I've got something that kind of just links onto that, or somebody, I don't know where, I don't know if this was in the group chat or whatever, but I read it earlier. So it's in the mail, actually, from today. Most gender-confused children grow out of it. Landmark 15-year study concludes. So, this is what everybody... It's common sense. You let kids get to puberty. You let them at least get to puberty and then decide. And this study, which has been going on 15 years...
Well, not even then for me, Lou. You know, let these people become adults. And then once you're an adult and you're fully grown, if you still decide and you want to be, because you're not going to get no bigger, you've done all your growing, you still decide that that's what you want to, well, crack on, go do it. But until you get to that point, yeah, even past then, 21 for me, yeah, because you're not really a responsible person until you get to that age. And no, still a lot of people are not.
Christine.
I've told my kids and all the other kids I've raised, there is a rule in life, it is unspoken, and it simply goes like this. The first 25 years of your life don't count. Your brain is not mature, you were not fully developed, you're not done growing up yet.
Agreed.
But from 25 forward, you better have your head on straight. You better know where you're going and what you want out of life, and you best go get it because nobody's going to hand it to you. So, you know, 25, before that, we all deserve a whole lot of grace because we're still learning. But from that time forward, somebody needs to pull their head out of their rump and get it together.
I absolutely agree. And I speak for myself. Exactly as what you just said. I was not a grown up until I hit my mid-20s. And by that time, I had a 3-year-old boy, 4-year-old boy. But I did grow up a little bit before, obviously, when he came along. But, yeah, absolutely, you know. I always say to, you know, to my boys, if I die and you have to claim my insurance money before it's up, obviously, you know, insurance, it goes when I'm 80, so hopefully if I live past 80, but if I don't and you claim the insurance money, you know, it's like, hopefully you're old enough to you know, not blow it. And hopefully, you know, you're going to be at least 25.
Well, just
you
to know, get but, it, like...
just becoming responsible and mature enough.
Right. You suddenly are like a quarter of a century old, and it hits you.
Yeah.
That you're a quarter of the way to 100. What have you done? You start looking back at your life and going, man, you know, where am I? Who am I? What do I want out of all of this? And until then, you really are not doing that. You just are focused on growing up and getting to the next thing. It takes you that long before you stop and turn around and look back and then look forward.
And then you've had a bit of life experience as well to draw upon at that age.
Exactly.
So, yeah, absolutely. But it is completely wrong. I mean, what they are doing, and they know it's wrong. But again, it's the devil showing his hand for the world to see. So it's like, well, it's not right what you're doing, but bring it on, keep showing your hand, and we'll snare you. You're going to get snared. So, you know, and that's what he was always going to do. He was always going to show his hand. And I always said many, many years ago, you know, he's going to show his face and he's going to announce his ear, and half the world's going to go, whoa, hang on a minute, what's going on here? And the other half's going to go, what are you on about? I don't know what you're talking about. And that's where we're at. That's the precipice, you know, where we're at the moment.
Can I jump in now? Am I on mute?
No.
Oh, good. So, you know, this, going back to the actual article about kids changing their minds, and they're against, you know, most kids do, you know, and you're saying over 25, but over 25, when I did community care for a while, I had to go and visit a guy who was, thought he was a woman. He was in his like 50s, but he had been going to counselling and speaking to counsellors because it was classed as a mental health issue. And he still hadn't even got on. I think he just started hormone, and that was after 5 years. They are allowing children to do this. And this 15-year study states they don't look at the amount of children that have the regrets, the amount of suicides there are. As Kimberly and as Catherine are always saying, this is criminal. It is criminal. And what with Scotland is out of control, as is Wales, and we're quickly behind. But for Scotland, I mean, I did see an article just before we came on air that they're re-looking at the hate crimes after the backlash. So, I mean, it'll probably just come back the same, but I suppose there is a little bit of hope on the horizon.
Well, yeah, because it just opens the door for stupidity, if you ask me. And I think that's what they're saying. You know, it's just, well, hang on a minute. We're getting all these people saying it's a hate crime now, you know, because of stupidity. And I think a lot of people will complain, hang on a minute, this is just stupid, you know, it's stupid.
I mean, do you know what's been interesting? What, like, watching and like understanding Scientology, all the protesters there, right, are asking people, do you think it's all right that the Scientologists are teaching children about masturbation, you know, at 5 and 6? And I'm like, well, hang on a minute. They're doing it in school classrooms here. But let's move on. We need to move on because we waffle too much sometimes. Jason, the post office, what you got?
Well, yeah, our friends at the Royal Mail are talking about cutting back on the second post service, which makes you laugh, really. Because you think, oh, God, but they're cutting back, they're making cutbacks, so there must be skint. But I think last year, profit margins were around about 750 million. So it's like, again, he just stinks of racketeering, profiteering. And again, the prices are going up and they've been creeping up quite, you know, I think it's near enough a quid now for a stamp where it used to be, what, 12p last time I bought a stamp? 15p for a first-class stamp? And it's like a quid. I mean, tell how long it is ago since I bought a stamp. But again, you know, you just look at the profit margins and it's the same as all these companies. You know, the screaming poverty in one hand, but in the other hand, they're raking in millions. And again, I've not even looked at the shareholders, you know, of the Royal Mail. It's privatised now, so there'll be dividends given out, but they're making cutbacks, so that means people will lose jobs. And again, it's to a point where these companies now are just proverbially taking the mic out of every single one of us in front of our faces, and they're announcing it on the news what they're doing. And then again, you know, certain corporations are even as blasé as saying, oh, by the way, yeah, we've just made about £4.2 billion in profit margins in the last year. But don't worry about it. We're going to get a price cap on your bills in 2030. You know, and I think people need to start standing up now and start saying enough is enough. You have been taking the robbery out of us and the complete proverbial, and we need to stop you. And again, everything needs to come back to the people. Just like our friend over in Libya did, Gaddafi. Nobody paid for electricity, not when it was coming from the profits of the land where the people lived. But we don't get that. We've got the highest prices in Europe. We're the second most miserable country in the world to live in. So people need to start standing up for what's right, especially where these corrupt corporations are involved. But yeah, it's interesting to see. And it's interesting to see what's going to be happening with the Royal Mail next. Because again, it's all racketeering and profiteering. And it's us, the people, that end up spending 92 pence in the pound in taxes and stealth taxes and hidden taxes. You know, people need to start standing up for what's right and standing up for themselves instead of having that mindset of, well, what can you do? You say no. Enough is enough. Yeah, I'm not listening to you anymore. Go away. Nobody can dictate to you if nobody's listening. But if you stood there looking for advice, looking for wisdom, you've been dictated to. Enough is enough.
Exactly, exactly. I tell you who's had enough is old Diddy. We're going to start Diddy Watch. Well.
No doubt about that.
Oh, wow. So, we were going to do this on a video, but we think we need to be on. We need to go into StreamYard, basically. It's not going to work. So there has been a video released, which I will link in the comments, of the time the home was raided. And I do believe that was by Justin Coombs's mother. Or was it King's mother? I think it was Justin Coombs' mother. There was that video. And then an article appeared that Ashton Kutcher is expecting the feds at his door regarding his close relationship with Diddy. Now,
I saw that.
Now, Ashton Kutcher and
the butcher, Kutcher.
Yeah. Jason, just mute for a minute because I've got to get through this. Ashton Kutcher, he has recently been in the papers for his support of Danny Masterson. Danny Masterson was in the 70s show with him and Mila Kunis. Mila Kunis was very, very young when she was in that. And there's a lot, we can go into another story, but that's a show for itself. Danny Masterson is a Scientologist. Danny Masterson was accused of rape by many, many victims. And quite a few of them were Scientologists, and he would drug them and rape them. And a lot of the drugging was done at a restaurant in Hollywood called La Poubelle. The protesters have been out there, and Danny Masterson is now serving 25 years in prison for the rape and abuse of women. Ashton Kutcher, along with many, many others, wrote a letter to the judge, not expecting it to be published, standing up for Danny Masterson, saying he was a great bloke. They'd been best friends for years. And that caused uproar. He then had to come out, because it got leaked, with the most cringe-worthy video I have ever seen of them apologising. But Ashton Kutcher, this isn't just the only scandal that he's had. He went out with a young lady, and that young lady was found dead. when he went to pick her up. And he said he'd seen something at the door, and he thought it was red wine on the floor. And there's been a lot of suspicions around that, because it was a murder. And there's been questions over that. I then went and had a little further look into Ashton Kutcher, and I found something unbelievable on Wikipedia. When I go down to venture capital, if you go down, it's saying that Kutcher invested in high tech startups. Six as of August of 2017. Neighbourly, Zanreets, ResearchGate, Duolingo, and Lemonade. His co-founder, capital firm A Grade Investments, that he runs, that Kushta runs with Gary Ossery, and guess who? Ron Blinken Burkle. Ron Burkle is obviously pretty much linked to Diddy. And it just goes deep. I had absolutely no idea the link between Ashton Kutcher and Ron Burkle. And there are pictures. They're all at the same event. It's Madonna's fundraising for African children. They're all there. They're all there together. Diddy, Ashton Kutcher, Madonna, Burkle. So I went, and the things that he is, I mean, it's pages and pages that Burkle is involved with. He's taken over the private members. He's now owns the private members club in London called Soho House. And we know what goes on at these private member clubs. This guy, he's linked to Obama. He went on African trips with Bill Clinton, Clinton Foundation, as is Ashton Kutcher. So Diddy's holding a lot of dirt on people. And we're saying Diddy's just like, he's just the play guy. He's got the further guys above. And I know, Christine, you've got stuff to say that you've been digging into. Over to you.
Well, I just saw where Ashton Kutcher and Ron Burkle co-founded A Grade Investments. It's a venture capital firm in 2010. And they have invested in, like you said, multiple tech companies, including Airbnb, Spotify, Uber, Flexport, Oscar Health, Warby Parker, Nextdoor, and Houzz. In 2015, Kutcher and former talent scout Guy Ossery founded Sound Ventures, which has invested in Casper, Bird, MoveIt, Robinhood, Gusto, and Calm, among other startups. So they've got Sound Ventures' last fund closed in 2018 for $150 million. Kutcher has sunk more than $3 billion into startups and participated in 177 funding rounds over the past decade, according to Business Insider. So they're involved in a lot of things together, and it is very interesting, all the connections. Of course, when you start talking Hollywood and music and, you know, billionaires, you generally open the door to child trafficking and all of these companies being used as fronts for things. So with that, kind of brings us back to all the weird addresses and things, the way they do it. But it's just, it's always the same people. They're always tied together. There's always a link. There's always a bridge. And we know Rachel Chandler is another bridge between all of them. And when you start looking at Rachel Chandler and Balenciaga and everybody that was attached to all of that, they're attached to all this too. Same people.
Well, I also want to jump in that Ashton Kutcher started a child trafficking agency called Thorn, which he had to step down to after his support for the rapist Scientologist Danny Masterson. And this is something, because we know these child trafficking groups, they're supposedly saving the children. They're not. Same as the children's charity. I would like to remind everybody that before the Daily Mail made the connection, I made a phone call to the NSPCC up in Suffolk after I found out their chairman had been on Epstein Island 17 times, Lady Ivani or somebody, her name was, I haven't got it in front of me. And I phoned the NSPCC and I put a call out that I was worried about the children of Suffolk because of this woman. And then I phoned the local press and then I phoned various other things. And then 2 weeks later, it came out, pictures of this woman with Jeffrey Epstein, and she was running the NSPCC for Suffolk. So we know the people behind these charities aren't for children. And Ashton Kutcher formed this anti-child trafficking. And I'm actually going to go through the names and have a look at who these people are, because I bet we're going to find...
Well, and another thing that I did link in this video or in this newscast is the original breakdown that you and I did on the connections between Jonathan Audi and Diddy. And yeah, just the way this all comes together. So I'm linking that in this description in case anybody wants to deep dive into that. There was so much great info in that original deep dive that you and I did. And I think that was, golly, man, that was back from, what, July last year?
Yeah, I remember the show.
Because we've got even more now on Burkle, and I think maybe we should be deep diving when we have the time, and then we come up and we do the presentation on Burkle, because I think Burkle, as I said back in November time, Diddy was going to be bigger than Epstein, because Diddy's crimes, we know now, were still going on in November of last year.
Quite recent then.
Yeah, so Epstein's is more, you know, historical. And not as historical as Savile, not as historical even further back as Mark Dutroux. But we do have the links from the Mark Dutroux case through to Balenciaga and the Epstein lot. And it's, you know, this is going over decades and it's the same people and it's the same people. But Ron Burkle, he's dirty. There's something about him. And Jonathan Oddi, I believe, hasn't gone in front of a judge yet. He's been sitting in Miami-Dade little county prison since 2016. 8 years nearly without going in front of a judge, because what he revealed in that, we only saw part of that interview, remember, exposes... Right. The racketeering, the drug trafficking, the children, the freak-offs. And this is years before Cassie put her lawsuit in. Years and years. And Jonathan Oddi was saying it all. And if Jonathan Oddi ended up in front of a judge, got sentenced, he wouldn't be here now because of the people inside. He is being protected. And I think he'll end up getting let out. I don't know what you think, yeah, Christine.
Well, I do. I think that he is basically in witness protection, and that's why he's still in jail and being protected. I think that he has been testifying on a lot of these cases that are coming out now. I also think it's very important to remember that Diddy, and we know Diddy, and we know Epstein, and we know Maxwell are all tied to the three-letter agencies.
Yeah. Okay?
And so that's where the racketeering charges come in. That's where this gets really deep. And you've got two sides of the FBI and the CIA, you know, kind of one investigating the other, if you will, in the process of all this. So it's really going to overturn a lot of rocks, and you're going to see some things that we haven't seen before, I hope, soon. But I do know that there is so much exposure going on at every level right now that once all this starts getting brought up and it starts, you know, coming to the surface, you'll start seeing the same names over and over and over again. And it's all going to lead back to not just this low-hanging fruit that everybody's focused on, but this comes back to the upper echelons of secret societies, names you never hear. And those are the ones that we're after. That's who we're truly after. So I just am excited for it all to finally be playing out in front of our eyes, and it is a wonderful time to be alive.
And that, Christine, before we close, because we need to discuss this, April the 8th, can you go through, and then I'll let Jason come in for commentary after you've gone through, why does everyone need to be alerted to April the 8th?
Well, you know, it's really funny. I'm sure everybody knows we've got an eclipse coming April 8th. We've got several different things that have actually come out recently, and I saw something just to kind of recap it that says, well, next Monday we have an eclipse. NASA is firing rockets at the moon. It's really not the moon. It is indeed our firmament that they're firing rockets at. And then CERN is firing up. Oh, and Israel is sacrificing red heifers. Am I missing anything? So what could possibly go wrong, right?
Yeah.
So... yeah, we've got some stuff all lining up, and it's pretty exciting. April 8th is proving to be a very interesting day. I don't want anybody to panic. I am not in panic. I am in complete and utter peace. I know that I know that I know that God, He's got this. He has a plan, and it is all coming together according to His perfect will, His perfect way, and His perfect plan. It doesn't mean we understand it all. It doesn't mean it all happens in our timing, but God is not surprised or stunned or sitting up there, you know, just wringing His hands and fretting about anything. You know, it occurs to me that nothing ever occurs to God, right? He knows. So, regardless of everything happening in the world and all the news coming out, everything we're hearing, just stay in your place of peace. Know that you are covered and protected. God's got this. And there will be a Tuesday. Monday the 8th will happen. We'll all go to bed and we'll wake up on Tuesday. And it'll be April 9th. So we'll see how it all plays out. I am expecting there to be some exciting things, no doubt. But I am not going to allow the fear to rule my world. I'm going to stay in faith. And I am a firm believer at this point that with all of this going on, it is possible, you know, to just see it and witness it. And no, because the word says, the Bible says, 1,000 may fall at your left, 10,000 at your right, but it will not come near you. And I believe that God is big enough to protect His people and get rid of the evil on this earth all at one time. And I think you're going to see it. I don't know that it's going to happen April 8th, but I do believe He is making a way towards that. And I think it's beautiful to watch.
Yay, Jason, final words to close the show.
Yeah, just to sort of touch a little bit on what Christine's just said there. Absolutely, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But when I look, when the mainstream media always puts out certain dates and the mekuhas of it, I always look to myself and think, right, okay, what's going to happen in 33 days from now? What's going to happen in 333 days from now? So that's what I'm looking for. Like you said, everybody's going to go to bed on the 8th and wake up on the 9th, and none the wiser. It's going to be like, well, we didn't, nothing happened. We had a little bit of darkness from a moon that's not real, that something's blocking the sun out, or something's stopping the light from coming through the firmament, or whatever it may be. But again, just look to the future, look to certain significant time dates afterwards, timestamps after that. Because it's like, to me, it's okay, this is the bigger we are about this day, and that's the starting point. And if you look at a lot of incidents and then look at so many days afterwards, there's always a connection. There's always a
Well, here's
connection with the incidents. So yeah, it's going to be interesting.
the eclipse. Yeah, there is a connection on the eclipse. The eclipse happens on April 8th, and 40 days later, if you'll remember the story in the Bible, Jonah got stuck in the well. He's on his way to Nineveh to warn them that, God's had it and he's going to wipe them all out. Well, he gets there, and God says, tell him to repent. He doesn't want to tell him that. He wants to tell him they all have to, they're all gonna die, and you're gonna see God's judgment. Well, he tells them to repent. They all repent. God gives them more time, right? So, 40 days keeps coming up, and 40 days after April 8th is May 18th, and I think that you're gonna see so much happen between April 8th and May 18th. It's going to look like a brand new world. I think we're literally about to see the fall of the giants and the rising of the righteous. And I think it's going to happen at the same time. So while you
And
have these giants falling, you're going to have the righteous rising. And we're going to see revival on this earth like you have never seen before. And I believe that the move of God is going to happen, and his glory will fall and fill this earth. And I'm just looking forward to that. That's what I'm looking for.
the lion shall lay down with the lamb, and the meek shall inherit the earth, I believe. But yeah, it's going to be
Amen.
interesting. It'll be interesting. But yeah, as always, always do the right thing because it's the right thing to do.
Thank you, Jason. Well, that's it for tonight's Liberty Tactics. Kat will be back tomorrow. So that's it for tonight's Liberty Tactics. We will be back on Friday, and Catherine will be with us as well, I think. LibertyTactics.co.uk, exposing the lie.info. We're on all platforms, iTunes, Spotify. Not all platforms because we're banned from most, but we have managed to stay on the podcasting platforms, including Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcasts. And we are on Rumble as well. So that's it. We'll be back. And anybody, apologies if you follow me on Instagram and you were getting odd messages for me and all sorts. Luckily, somebody messaged me before they went and invested. My accounts got hacked and I've only just managed to get control. Well, not even full control. Anywho, libertytactics.co.uk. Goodbye. God bless.